Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach. I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And Lying on the Beach is powered by the Handle Stick, the must-have phone accessory that adds stylish jewelry and usability to your smartphone or smartphone case. And today, Lois and I will be talking with Tom Campbell. Tom is an internationally recognized as a technology strategist and marketer. In addition to his own entrepreneurial ventures in electronics, retailing, and clean energy, Tom is a leading technology consultant in the public and private sectors. Tom has served as a White House technology advisor in three administrations and received the Presidential Distinguished Service Award for his dedicated service to the White House and the Executive Office of the President. Tom has received special recognition on the floor of the U.S. Senate. In recognition of his leadership and contributions to the technology industry, Tom has been inducted into the Consumer Technology Hall of Fame. And Tom, welcome to Lying on the Beach.
Well, thank you so much. What a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us.
Yeah. And we'll also recognize you, special recognition. Not only the Senate, but Lying on the Beach is getting a special recognition as well. So you add that to your resume, please.
And clothing's optional, right? Clothing's optional.
Okay. Clothing are always good. Lying on the Beach. Lois has never done it, not topless. She's always topless in every one of these podcasts. One of the big pieces of news that came out last week, you're all about retail, is, like, for example, Macy's is closing 150 stores, and yep. They open small mini Macy's, like in strip malls, and it looks like the world of retail is really changing, or maybe disappearing, obviously because of Amazon and online. And what do you think the future holds for retail? You're the pro. What can we expect for our shopping habits?
A very good question, Steve. Storefront retail is not dead. It's evolving. And those who do not evolve die, one by one by one by one. And I give Macy's credit because, you know, today we talk about, when I teach, I talk about not just discretionary income, something that very few people talk about, discretionary time. We have less and less and less. And that's why we as retailers, including a company I'm involved with on the board called Video and Audio Center, had another record-breaking year with Storefront. And the reason for this is that it's become a social environment. And you're going to find smaller stores and more convenient stores because today people have less and less free time. So they're very protective of the free time they have. How can they increase the efficiency of the time they have? Well, with the online, I've got to give them credit. For example, groceries, you know, free delivery within 2 hours from, for example, Whole Foods, it's pretty hard to compete with. However, what's happening is that people are going to the motion picture theater still. They're going to restaurants. They're going to a number of malls. Like, we have a store that's in what it's called the Westfield Century City. It's the top mall serving Beverly Hills, Bel Air, very high end. And people are already there. They're not going to drive 45 minutes or 2 hours on the freeway bumper to bumper to take a look at a TV set or a smart speaker. However, if they're at a location and you're convenient, they're going to say, well, I want to see that, because they want to confirm, they want to verify, they want to validate the purchase that they may make on the internet. And that's why, frankly, you see, for example, Amazon with their stores in the malls, including Westfield Century City. Casper Mattress Company just announced they're opening stores. They're in malls right now, not only online, but they're there where people can see, feel, and touch, which you cannot do with your monitor. So that's what's happening. That's why I really salute Macy's. You look at the Apple stores. Apple stores, there's always customers in that store. It's always packed. And we're right next to an Apple store there in Century City. And if you come to any of the Video and Audio Center stores, it is never empty. There are always people there shopping. There's sofas. They can relax. They can converse. It becomes a social environment. So that's where it's changing. And again, the smart retailers, and Macy's is very smart to go to the mini stores, the smaller stores, and also choosing where they're at, where are what I call social hubs, okay?
And what do you mean by a social hub?
That means that you're doing other events. You're going to be there anyway. You're there. It's convenient. It's close. It's easy to do. It's easy. You're right there. And that's what we've been doing. We're in, for example, Topanga, the Westfield Mall there. All of our stores are situated where there's high traffic, where people are there for other reasons. It's no longer you're going to drive all the way, like I said, 2 hours on the freeway, bumper to bumper, to see a smart speaker. You're not going to do that. And that's what's happening, is that now today is becoming where people are coming into a store to really look and to see. It used to be called showrooming. I call it web rooming. And what happens now, it used to be that, you know, you'd see something and you go back on the internet and buy it. Now people are shopping first on the internet, and so many, not every time, but many are shopping first on the internet. And then they'll go to a store to validate or confirm that, I think this is what I want. Then they drive back home and they go to the online and buy it. Well, my job is to be sure that when they're in that store, they're not going to go back home. They're going to buy it from us. And there's a couple of things that we do to do that. Free setup and delivery. If you want, we have same-day delivery available. And there's other things. 30-day satisfaction. You don't like it? Well, within 30 days, you can exchange it. So there's many reasons why go back and go on the cloud. We even have computers in the stores where you can even shop and compare pricing. So all of a sudden, you know, you're overcoming any objections there may be mentally and saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to buy from these people. They're here. They're going to take care of me. So the closing ratio for our company is over 60%, which is unheard of. That doesn't mean that 60% come in and buy something. We're talking about people that would have gone home and purchased online instead bought it from us. And this
but
is
Tom,
what's happening. Yes.
But, Tom, the margins get so tight now because you've got, you know, online, the overhead is pretty minimal. But here at a store, you know, at a retail, whether it's the one you mentioned near Beverly Hills or here at Brickell City Center, they're paying a fortune in rent. How are they going to cover that rent and still survive with these tiny margins? Is the profit there? Does it make sense to have a store anymore?
Absolutely. Well, no, you've got, you're right. Steve, you're right. What happens is you've got margin, I call it margin compression and price erosion. And it's very true. But if you're doing the volume in hundreds of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions, and we call it turn, inventory turns, you can make it if you're turning the inventory. And then you can work on smaller margins. That's why a small storefront retailer, it's very difficult for them to make it with these small margins. You've got to have the volume and the inventory turns to make it work. And that's what I teach in economics. And so there is a formula that does work. It works for Amazon. It works for Best Buy. It works for us.
Interestingly, also, I'm noticing, and kind of defies maybe logic, and we keep hearing the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. But when you go into the mall, we have a brand new mall here in Miami called Brickell City Center. A lot of high-end stores that appear empty. I never see anybody carrying a bag from that store. I walk on the only store that's busy. Apple is packed. The movie theater is packed. Zara is packed, which again is kind of almost a discounted clothing line. Saks Fifth Ave, empty. I just don't – is that the nature of things that we're going to go to lower-end price points and that's what people want? Or I don't understand. You'd think that the higher-end stores might be doing great now because a lot of people are getting very rich, I guess.
It's affordability. I mean, I don't want to get into politics or the economy, but the economy, no matter what political aisle you're on, and remember, I always say technology is nonpartisan. I'm not a politician, okay? I'm a technologist, and I deal with technology. And technology today is a statement of affluence. It is, not just for the rich. You know, it used to be what suit do you wear? What kind of clothing? What kind of, you know, what are your shoes? What do you wear? What kind of car do you drive? Today, it's a technology statement. People notice what kind of phone you have. They know if it's an Apple or if it's an Android device. Not only do they know that, they know what the model is. Are you running an Apple iPhone 11, a Max? They know. And it's almost a statement. It is a statement. And it's the same thing when you have entertainment at home. You don't have a Suzy Q 43-inch 720p TV. They either got a Sony, a Samsung, an LG, maybe a Vizio, you know? That's also another statement of affluency is the home theater, the technology. People are very aware of what you're wearing and what you're using, what laptop you have. It's amazing. People are no longer afraid of technology. And this isn't just for the rich. I'm telling you, people today have a comfort level and they love technology and they're very interested in the technology, especially new meaningful technology.
So, Tom, what do you do when somebody walks into your store to really make sure that they just don't, you know, use you as a showroom and then go home? I mean, are the salesmen doing anything like saying stop in the name of love? I mean, you know, how do they?
No, and not how may I help you? You know, how are you today or whatever? You know, no, really, I've got to give Joseph and Mayor Actas out. They're the founders of Video and Audio Center. They've been in business 38 years now. Mm-hmm. And I'm very proud to serve on their board. This is not a commercial. I'm just sharing with you.
Because yeah, tell us, please.
They get it. And what I'm saying is that when you walk into one of our stores, you're comfortable. You can browse around and you're not going to be shadowed or trying to, you know, you got to buy this extended warranty or you got to do this or do that. You know, it's more of ascertaining what they're looking at, what they're looking for. And many people say, hey, I saw this online and you know what? I think I want this. And all of a sudden they see that new 8K Sony or Samsung or LG or the OLED or the QLED. And they go, holy cow, this is incredible. I think I want this. And so there's a lot of impulse there. There's sofas. You can sit down. You can have a cup of coffee, a cup of tea. It's amazing. And so it's very low key. And people, the way the displays are done, it really, they see it. They go, my God, an experience like listening to the new soundbars. Or we just brought on B&W speakers, for example. And, you know, the 800 series, a $30,000 a pair of speakers. Now, you know, not everyone's going to spend 30 grand for a pair of speakers. But there are people that buy those, and there are people that buy speakers that are under $100. These sound bars are phenomenal. The Dolby Atmos, for example, mm-hmm. And so they're experiencing things they didn't experience shopping online. And holy cow, I want this! And so it's almost like impulse buying. So,
but doesn't it seem like retail is like the idea of a salesperson is sort of disappearing? I mean, there was a time when, you know, like now if you're going to most stores, I'm not saying the one you mentioned might be different because it's a very, very high-end store, but if you walk into a Best Buy or any, you know, Target or whatnot, to find a salesperson, you know, you have to commit a crime somewhere in the store to have someone show up. I mean, it's just, it's very hard to find someone. And then if you do find someone, they have very limited knowledge. You can't ask them.
Well, salesman, that's true.
It seems frustrating.
Steve, I hear your frustration. First of all, we're not just high-end. We sell white-collar, blue-collar, no-collar at all. We sell all areas.
we're no-collar. Okay.
I'm no-collar.
Okay,
at the very moment, I'm not.
I don't really give that illusion. I really, because you know, I'm telling you, look at, I mean, today, the income is, I mean, everywhere you look, help wanted, you know, immediate hiring. I mean, everywhere you go, you see signs on the windows. Job openings. I mean, if you want to find work, you can find work. And you don't have to be a millionaire or a billionaire to enjoy this technology. In fact, frankly, technology is one of the few categories I know of that the prices keep coming down. You don't see automobiles coming down.
I agree. I'm just saying the salesman, the salesperson, saleswoman or salesman, that there seem to be fewer and fewer of them. Not because, I don't think because they're not being, they can't, their jobs aren't there. I think because the retailers don't want as many salespeople around because they, I don't know, it costs too much money to have salespeople. But I think when I was a kid, you walk in a Macy's or wherever you were, there was always a salesperson there who could help you, who knew what the product was, who could assist you. Now you walk into these stores, and I think it's very hard to find a salesperson. And if you do find one, they're not really knowledgeable about the products that are on the shelf.
Steve, you nailed it. That's right. They need to have the knowledge. That's very important. We have sales associates. The word salesman or salesperson, you know? Mm-hmm. How about a saleswoman? You know? Come on. We have sales associates. And these people, our top sales associates that write the most business are the best listeners. They listen more than they talk. And they have knowledge, product knowledge. And they can really help the consumer make that decision what they're going to enjoy and really want. And that's from hands-on, seeing, feeling, touching. And what Joseph and Mayer have done, every product in that store you can see, feel, touch, whether it be a camera, whether it be video camera, whether it be the smart speakers, whether it be headphones. You can pick them up, put them on your head, and listen to your favorite music. There's even a mirror so you can see how it looks cosmetically on your face. Because with headphones, it isn't just how it sounds. How does it look?
Right.
You know? And so we're doing things of this sort. And so you come in and people leave. What I do when I watch a store, I watch the body language when the consumer walks into the store, and most importantly, how they look when they walk out. Are they smiling? Are they happy? Are they frowning? Oh, God, what am I doing here? And we watch that. You know, I want a person to leave feeling better than when they walked in the front door.
So how do you train your people that are different than any other store in the nation?
Well, I'm not going to say that. I think, again, there's interviews. It's the personality of the person. You've got to really like people and really have an interest in technology. And then we have training programs. The manufacturers work this as well, factory trained, where they learn the product and know what it is. They know what 8K is. They know what 4K is. They can talk about streaming and the benefits and how you can really enjoy this. So this is the thing. And, yes, that's what you brought up. All these, Steve and Lois, you're so correct. I mean, there are many people that are very disappointed, very frustrated, because they're not getting the service they want. So the smart retailers, the smart ones, and Macy's is learning. You look at, they got a certain section for return. You want to return a product at Macy's, they got a whole section there. Hi, may I help you? With a smile, you can return the product, you know? And they're learning that these huge stores are like a football field or no more. People don't have the time. They want to be, this is what's happening again, discretionary time. Our productivity in this country is at all-time high. And because of that productivity, people have less and less free time. And they really value the small amount of free time they have.
Right.
And they're not going to use it driving all the way around and spending a day and a half trying to find something. Go ahead.
The mall is going to do well because that becomes a social hub. So
the big box
alone won't do as well.
It's interesting because, not all the malls are doing well. There's some malls that are challenged because malls have learned. Westfield spent over $1 billion redoing their malls. And more areas where people can, the common area, and where people can converse and have a wonderful time. They come there as a social environment. So you want to have dinner, you want to go to a movie, you want to whatever, one-stop shopping. It's all right there at your fingertips. And that's what's really unique. And so we're finding that when the consumer comes in, they're really trying to verify, to validate, like I said before, what they think they want. And all of a sudden, they're seeing this and they're hearing that, and they're hearing the sound and they're seeing the visual. They go, my God, this is incredible. And they can have it right now, tonight.
So you're saying a smaller store and more free, more frequent locations is really the formula.
Well, that's where the trend is going on. And it doesn't have to be a tiny store. I'm not talking about 200 square feet or 1,000 square
right.
feet. But no more these 50,000 square footers or whatever. But you look at Costco's success. They're doing well. They're huge. But
right.
again,
you have to know your customer. Yeah.
You have to know your customer. Look at the changes Target is doing. And look at the companies that are no more. I mean, my God, Sharper Image was huge. Mail order and online and no more. Circuit City, no more. On and on and on. And every week you're hearing somebody's closing the doors, a local retailer or whatever. They're shutting down. Look at Kmart, how they reduced the number of stores. You look at the Macy's right now. How about Sears?
Right, terrible.
Mm-hmm. Terrible. But they
Kmart.
Didn't make... Yeah, absolutely. So this, like I said before, storefront retail is not dead. It's just evolving. And those that are smart are moving with the times and giving the consumer what they want. The ease of shopping. The fact of their time is very valuable. They don't have to waste a lot of time driving somewhere forever and trying to figure out what they want. Because when they come in, they pretty much have an idea of what they want already.
So business just telling me that retail is good.
Retail is good for those that have evolved. You've got different retail. You've got storefront retail. You've got the e-commerce. You've got a number of different types of retail.
Right.
But the point is, it's there's a convenience factor. Like I said, more and more people are offering a free home delivery. My God, you buy $30 worth of groceries. We're guaranteeing to have it at your front door in 2 hours. That's pretty hard to compete with.
Right.
But, however, there are people... Let's see. I want to pick my own produce. I want to, if it's frozen food or something, a commodity like that, no problem. But there's certain things like picking out your choice of fish or beef. And some people that first, I've got some neighbors that were doing that and had everything go to the door, and all of a sudden they're going back to the supermarket because they want to be the ones to pick what they get.
Right.
Well, not some shopper.
Well, we'll shop more with Tom in just a moment. But first, if you are shopping, you should be looking into the Handle Stick. That's our sponsor. It's a must-have phone accessory that adds stylish jewelry and usability to your smartphone. Handle Stick attaches directly to the back of your existing smartphone case or phone. No need to switch cases. Handle utilizes a brace system, allowing the user to slip his or her fingers through the little tight little area in the back there so that you effortlessly can grip your phone without So you, whether you're speaking or texting or taking selfies, it feels like the phone is just floating in your hand. Handle allows for a complete one-handed use of your phone and frees up the other hand for multitasking. Handle Stick is also a kickstand, so it stands up your phone in both landscape and portrait modes. And yes, you can wirelessly charge through the Handle Stick. It comes in more than 40 styles, including animal prints, lots of colors, fun glitter, and sophisticated carbon fiber patterns. The Handle Stick starts at just $10, and you can check it out at handlenewyork.com. And Handle is spelled H-A-N-D-L, New York, all one word, .com. So that's our sponsor. And moving back to shopping with Tom, Tom, are we going to be looking at the Macy's Day Parade? Will one day be the Amazon Day Parade? Is that where we're going, or will Macy's survive all of this?
That could happen. Look at the T-Mobile merger with Sprint that was just approved. I mean, right. You're looking at a number of things here. I mean, and even if you looked at watch the Oscars, they had a close-up of Bezos, you know.
Right.
You know, and look at the movie industry, how Netflix and Amazon getting into production of motion picture and the theatrical. So it's going to be very interesting to see where this all goes. But
Tom, why are people, not just retailers, afraid of change? It drives me crazy when, you know, journalists tell me, you know, they can't get a job because they basically want the job they had 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, they want everything to be the way it was. Why? You've been around. You should be able to answer this question. And you've been able to transform yourself many times and evolve into the new world of the digital. So what's going on?
Oh, boy. That's a very good question. You know, I personally feel blessed. It isn't. I'm no genius, but I do. I have a passion, as you can hear. And I love technology. I love people. And you know, I'm fortunate, especially teaching as I do, and in graduate school, you know, I'm around people. I'm around young people. I'm not just hanging around people that are, I mean, the seniors are important as well, but it's kind of having a feel and knowing what they're looking for and being involved. And I do focus groups. I do a minimum of 4 focus groups a year, and I learn a lot from focus groups. And you know, trying to, you know, understand where people are at and what they're really truly looking for. It's, you know, again, people are afraid of change. There's no question. And it's not so much change. It's evolving. You know, there's nothing wrong with welcoming someone. You know, if a person comes in the store, have you been with us? Have you been here before? Have you shopped us before? No, it's my first time. Well, really? Well, you know, finding out what they do, what their background is, you know, what they're looking at and where they saw
right.
it. And more of a personal relationship, because people miss that. And, you know, it isn't just texting or, you know, I mean, and again, there's solid competition. Online, e-commerce, serious competition. But even they are migrating and evolving from not
right.
just being online, evolving to storefront retail.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, you go to any one of the video and audio center stores, it's never empty. Now, it's always packed as Apple. Apple's packed day and night. But there are always consumers in those stores. Why? You know? And we have the visibility. The branding is important. So we still use social media. We use radio, newspaper, you know, the print, television. We do a lot of advertising in the market. And we find that, you know, people are just, like I said, again, they're not used to this. And if they don't want to buy it today, oh, no problem. We'll help you come back and visit with us. And if we can help you, here's my card, you know. People leave feeling much better for the most part than when they walked in the store, and that's
mm-hmm.
a good sign. Will everyone buy from us? No, they won't. Will some still go back and buy online? Absolutely. But it depends on the category again. I mean, if there's a pair of nylons you want to buy for yourself, Lois, I mean, you know the brand, you know the color. I mean, you can buy it anywhere. You don't need to shop or confirm. You already know the product. But
right.
in technology, it's so personal. There are so many choices in technology. There are
Why are so many retailers going out of business in the electronics business?
Well, as Steve, as you mentioned before, the margins are thin. I think part of it is that they haven't changed. They stock, put the boxes up to the ceiling, and hi, we got a sale today. We'll save you $15, or you know, drive over here. They're not offering the consumer what they're looking for.
So one one point that I want to mention is a number of years ago, I spoke to Rochelle Friedman from J&R Music. You mm-hmm. couldn't get a more successful store in the world than what they had going on in Lower Manhattan.
Absolutely.
And then she finally said to me, I am sick and tired of being the showroom for the internet. We're out of here. Goodbye and get lost.
Okay. You know, and I heard that story. And she's right, because people were going over to the store and, hey, I like this. And thanks a million. They take all the time and then they go back home and buy it. That's what we talked about earlier, right, Steve? That's the
exactly.
thing. Yes. They should have found a way to, you know, to offer something to that consumer that made it a better situation to buy from them than to go back home.
Right.
And then have to go online and then wait for it to be shipped to their home. And if they don't like it or if the carton's damaged, then they got to go back on the cloud or whatever, go back and on and on and on and on.
Right.
So they should have, frankly, I mean, they were, what a wonderful company, a great location, great reputation. But that's a very good example of absolutely. So she just said it. They come in there and they use me as a showroom for the internet.
Right.
Well, shame on her.
Yeah. No, well, I always feel in life when someone, not all the time, but a majority of the time, when someone can't make it in an industry, it's because they've lost the passion, and maybe for good reason, and just can't adopt the new changes. So, for example, with CES, you know, people are criticizing the trade show because, you know, all the other old manufacturers that you and I grew up with are really not taking football field, you know, size exhibits anymore. But the show has evolved with so much innovation that the old-timers just don't understand. And, yes, it is big. And, yes, it's very difficult to navigate. But that's where the world is now. So you go, you have a good time, you know, you make appointments, you do the best you can, and little by little, you know, all of a sudden you turn around and like, oh, this was good, this was great, this was rewarding. But people are just afraid to do that. Steve and I, in both of our professions, and we hold each other's hands occasionally. We discuss it through like a little therapy group. But we want to change. We desperately, like you, Tom, you know, want that acceptance and want that relevance. And we, you know, go to it. But I don't understand why other people are so afraid.
Well, if I may, I don't mean to be cruel to J&R, by the way. I know it's
not. No, you were not at all.
I don't blame her. I can feel her frustration. I'm not going to need the showroom for this. But, but back to what we're saying, CES is a little different situation. That is, people come and they don't have to walk the whole show. They go to what areas they're interested in. But you take a look at Sony, you take a look at LG and Samsung, those are huge displays. They're spending millions of dollars because the whole world is watching that new technology. And I would tell you, I got to give Gary Shapiro, and you are very, very much, Lois, a big part of CES. You've been involved with CES for many, many years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they were smart to change it from the Consumer Electronics Association to the Consumer Technology Association.
Absolutely.
And look at the new members.
That made a lot of sense. They definitely moved in the right direction. That was just
absolutely.
And electronic is sort of an old-fashioned phrase anyway, so and everything is no longer what was. I just was reading that the Houseware Show in Chicago is no longer going to be called the Houseware Show. They want to be the Inspired Home Show because they recognize that technology is all over it, and it just houseware sound like, you know, kitchen knives and chopping blocks, and they don't want to be that.
Yep.
So they're the Inspired Home Show now.
Steve, you're so right. And the point is that even with Gary Shapiro and the team at the Consumer Technology Association, it wasn't just a name change. I mean, look at the new members they've got, from cruise lines automotive manufacturers. I mean, technology.
Delta Airlines.
Delta, for example. And even Apple was at one of the keynotes this time at the show this year. So this is where it's happening. I mean, there's no question. It's changing. It's evolving. So now e-commerce, more and more are also doing storefront. They realize they've got to have that because there's people such as us that are saying, hey, come on down. We're happy to be a showroom because once you come into our store, you ain't going back home to buy it there. You're going to buy it from us.
Right.
And we're going to do everything we can to take that sale. So how can we afford to do it? The sales volume is enormous. The inventory turns. So it makes it possible to survive in a world that has, as I said before, price erosion and margin compression.
Well, you certainly are an inspiration, Tom. I really have to say it, because too many people, they get me down. I kind of like fall into their little hole because, you know, they're all talking about, you know, there are advertising people I know that work for magazines. There's no one to sell to. There's, you know, everything has changed. You know, too bad. You know, journalism has gone away. There's a lot of wonderful new opportunities. I've watched a few of the major journalists that work for Mashable and work for TechCrunch and, you know, and Business.
Well, look what you've done. Look what Steve has done. Look at both of you. Look what you've done. I mean, you're doing things you didn't do 10 years ago, right, Steve?
No, absolutely.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Keeps changing.
And same. And I, again, you know, I look at this and it's like, oh, my God. You know, I see tremendous. And by the way, I want to say I got booed. I spoke at a major event in New York. 2 years ago, and I praised Best Buy, and I got booed. These independent, how can you say, you know, let me tell you something. We cannot survive in the world by ourselves. We need competition. Every time someone goes out of business, it hurts me because I need that. We need that. We need the voice out there. One retailer alone doesn't have the voice to promote and talk about technology. So to me, Best Buy is very important. I'm very supportive of Best Buy. They're a great competitor.
And I want to point out, I told Lois not to boo, and she did it anyway.
Well, the independents didn't like me praising Best Buy. And I came right back, Steve. I said, hey, you know, I didn't say F you, but I felt like it. You know, like, hey, Bob, don't be stupid. You know, they're out there advertising. They, people see what they're selling. They're a voice. And if you know how to compete with them, you can do all right. You know, what do you want? Everybody to go broke, you're the only retailer left. You'll be dead yourself.
Exactly.
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 I think we've covered it. What do you think, Paul?
I think Tom is an inspiration, a motivator, keeping us all relevant, and we need to get him on here frequently.
Again, absolutely.
Well, thank you. By the way, let me just add real quickly. I don't know it all. In fact, what thrills me is I learn every day. Even today, talking to both of you, I have learned. You have to listen. And you know what? I mean, the day you stop learning is the day you're dead.
Right.
That's true.
And we
but
don't
you're the first
die.
Person who's ever learned from us, so that's really good.
Well, I've learned a lot.
We appreciate it, because that doesn't happen too often. So we appreciate it. Lois and I want to thank Tom Campbell for being our guest on Lying on the Beach. Thank you, Tom, for joining us. And once again, I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And we have been Lying on the Beach. So long, everybody.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.